prophets say? We're going to go back to the 10th chapter of the great book of Revelation, bearing in mind again that this is in the sixth trump. The sixth trump is sounding. The seventh trump doesn't sound until way late in the 11th chapter, not the 10th. So bear that in mind as we continue. We're going to pick it up right where we left off this morning verse 7 of chapter 10. The seven trumpets, we kind of know now, the voice of God announces the coming of the false one. Verse 7 of chapter 10, the great book of Revelation, and it reads, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God," I'll say it again, "the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." I want you to make note of one word in that sentence, especially, is the word begin. It's M-E-L-L-O, mellow, and it means is about to do. He hadn't done it yet. If he hadn't sounded the seventh, we're still in the sixth, all right? Got that? It's important. And verse 8, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth," meaning total control everywhere. "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it." Now, what action did that require on your part? Give me the book. You've got to ask. You're not a baby. You're not spoon-fed. You have to ask our Father when you want truth. You have to ask our Father when you want to understand this word. Ask for it. And then he said, take it. That even taking it requires a little action on your part. Okay? "Take it and eat it up." That means absorb it. "Ingest it. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." The truth always is. But sometimes tough love can be a little on the bitter side. Verse 10. "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey." Father will never mislead you if you'll do your homework. "And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." And naturally, God's elect, after they absorb the word, are going to be delivered up. And you must prophesy before many people. The truth must be heard around the world. And God chooses people to do it. Three verses into the next chapter, the two witnesses appear. Still in the sixth trump. The reason I'm reminding you of this, it's important. But I wonder what we kind of maybe have overread in those very verses that was so important. We should have paid really close attention to it. That's when you eat the word. You've got to absorb it and think on it. There's a mystery of God. The mystery of God should not be a mystery to God's elect. You should understand. Well, how was it? Let me see. Just how did he say that? Well, let's back up and let's absorb it back to the verse we started with. "And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound," or he's about to sound, "the mystery of God should be finished." In other words, the truth should all be there just for the taking, if you'll take the book. "As he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Oh, the prophets already know about it. He's already told them. So what do we do? Do we get it from Mark and Matthew and John? No. He said prophets. Okay. So what the prophets say is important because God gave them the mystery. Oh, where are we going to find it? You naturally are going to find it in the prophets. Isn't that deep? Okay. But if you're not careful, you can just really overread a boatload of wonderful information. So there we go, right back to the prophets. And I think probably one of the things we should do, let's take old Amos chapter 3, okay, back in the minor prophets. He's a prophet. Maybe he knows something that we should know even today. But if God told the prophets, and Amos, after the book of Joel in the minor prophets, chapter 3, and let's see what God told the prophets, you know, especially concerning you and what's going down. Chapter 3, the book of Amos, and verse 1 reads, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel," that's the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, "against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying," and here he includes the house of Judah, "too, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." Our father gets disappointed in his children. Maybe you do yours sometimes. But our father especially. And when he does, he's going to punish us. And you know something? We deserve it. And stupidity is one of the things that God abhors. It's when he puts it in the book and it's there for you to take and you don't, then he gets a little addled at you. So he said, "I'm going to thump your gourd." And that's exactly what he's going to do in this chapter, verse 2. And also, he's educating you. God will always educate you and raise your ability to learn. Okay, verse 2. Verse 3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And the answer is, of course not. They can't walk together and get along if they don't agree, if they don't see alike. 4. "Will a lion roar in the forest when he had no prey?" How can he brag about something if he hadn't caught it? "Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing?" He's got nothing to cry about. Okay. And 5, "Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is set for him?" If you don't have a trap, how can a bird get caught in it? You see what God's doing to you? You won't pay close attention. "Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? No effect without a cause." You cannot expect any effect without a cause. So you had better be well know what the cause of our Father is. It's to love and save his children, to have them know how to walk together, to have them know what it is he expects of them. How do you learn that? From the book, the little book he insisted you read. No effect without a cause. Always remember that. Because God has a purpose and a cause for everything, the way he created it. The only reason you see some things happening without a cause and some effect is if men go against God's nature. That will do it. Verse 6, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord God hath not done it?" And of course, again, no effect, no cause. Verse 7, "Now listen, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets." And there you have it. He has told them. They know the secret. And all you have to do is go to the prophets and understand. Verse 8, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" When you know and understand the word of God, how can you not speak that word? How can you not share it? You have to. It will explode within you. If you have that truth, you don't sit on it. You don't hide it under a bushel. You share it. And when it is so beautiful, especially in these end times, So naturally, when God foretells everything, then all you have to do is read. It's all written. No need to not understand the mystery of our Father. 9, publish it in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. Now, the Septuagint doesn't have Ashdod here. It has the Assyrian, and that is the subject. It was the Assyrian that took the 10 nations, 10 tribes, northern tribes, captive. Therefore, we're talking about it. We're talking about Egypt. Have you looked at Egypt lately? They murder Christians there. They burn Christian churches, big time. Okay. Assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. You look at the house, those 10 tribes of Israel. Just look at them. And behold the great tumults in the midst thereof and the oppression in the midst thereof. Well, I wonder what that could mean. A nation that is so blessed, and they allow somebody to take the helm that drives it right into the mud. Okay. I mean unemployment. I mean people barely being able to make it. And certainly, do you think God knows it? You bet He does. It was written a long time ago. And God blesses those that love Him and follow Him. Verse 10. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord. Talking about Israel. They don't. Ask them what the Word of God says. Ask them what the little book says. They'll laugh at you. They'll say, "We don't know. We need a teacher." Well, there's a teacher down there. Go see what he says. You're going to fly away. That's what the teacher said. That's not what the book says. Okay. So you've got to be very careful. Don't be misled. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. That means right at the top of the thing they steal. Mislead. Verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary. That adversary is the Antichrist. The Antichrist there shall be an even round about the land, and he shall bring down the strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. When he shows up, he takes over. And do you know something? People will let him. They will run after him because they don't know any better. Probably he's telling them, I'm going to fly you away. And they say, oh, I've heard that before. 12, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion 2 legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed, in Damascus in a couch. Living pretty plush. But there are so few shepherds that know truth, that all they're able to do is just to pull a few scattered compared to the billions on this earth today that will take the time to listen to truth, to understand what the little book says. The prophets were told long ago, the prophets say, eat the word, absorb it, don't be confused. Verse 13, hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob. Said the Lord God to the host of to the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, when I come to thump his gourd, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Bethel in the Hebrew tongue means house of God. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. He's not too happy with Bethel. He's not too happy with what's called the house of God. 15, this verse will tell you why. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the house of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Your wealth is going to go south. And I'm going to see that your fancy living We're going to bring you down a notch or two. Wonder if that sounds familiar. Anyway, but there you have it. The prophets. Well, what's another prophet? Well, I'll tell you what. Go back to chapter 1 of this book of Amos. We're going to just spend a minute here. See if this might sound familiar to you. Verse 5 of chapter 1. I will break also the bar of Damascus. That's Syria. And cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven. That's the open field. And him that holdeth the scepter, that's the leader, from the house of Eden. And the prince of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, that means the fortress, saith the Lord. He's not happy with Syria. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza. God won't put up with three. Okay, and for four, you overdone it. Four transgressions, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. That's to say, Rush or Russia. I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant of Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter in Ashkelon. This is the west, above Gaza. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, that's torn out by the roots. And the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. And it goes on with Tyrus. He numbers them off. You read about it every day in the newspapers. You see it on television. You see it happening right now. It's in the book. And God foretold us. He said, the whole mystery is right there. And it builds up to the coming of the adversary. That's where you come in to reach your people. You know, sometimes I can't reach your people, but you can. They will hear you. And that's what you want to give them, is the book. But you must take the book, absorb it, digest it. Now let's really get down to the nitty-gritty. Another prophet, good old Daniel, okay? Good old Daniel, we want to go about chapter 8. I've lost my notes here. But I didn't need them anyway. So they're right behind me here. If I need them, I'll go to them. I don't. Okay. Chapter 8, and what I want to call your attention to is verse 2. Daniel's having a vision here, and it has to do with the end times. That's you. It's in the book. You see, God told the prophets what's going to happen. It's the mystery. You're supposed to understand it because you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's understand what the geographical location is. It's very, very important. Chapter 8, verse 2. Let's take one. In the third year of the king Belshazzar, that's the last king of Babylon. Okay, not the very last, because the very last is the Antichrist. Got it? A vision appeared unto me, even to me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in the vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Now, it's very important that you know where Ulai is, because that's where this vision was given. And that geographical location is very important. Now, if you're like me, probably it just doesn't come to your mind right real quick, all right? But let me tell you then where Ulai is. At the head of the Persian Gulf, where the Euphrates and the Tigris run into the Persian Gulf. The Ulai is a little river that runs into the Tigris out of where? Iran. We're talking about Iran, okay? And it's very important. Concerning this prophecy. Skip now that we have a geographical location, which is important. It's just as important as when you were told to go to the Euphrates and Kadan in the Hebrew tongue. That doesn't mean look to the east. It means go to the Euphrates and look east. Well, what do you do? What do you see when you go to the Euphrates and look east? You see Iran. You see Turkey. You see Afghanistan. You see Iraq and parts of it. Okay. Verse 19 in chapter 8. Daniel didn't quite understand this, and the angel came along and lifted him up. And now he's going to explain it, and you don't have to go through the first part because you already have it memorized. Any one of you could quote it, I'm sure. Okay, so, but to understand the translation, let's pick it up in verse 19. And he said, "Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be." That applies to you, my friend. That's exactly what he's talking about. What transpires at the end of this age? You're here. Even the prophets wanted to live at this time because it's exciting, it's vivacious. It's God's love on those that will follow Him, that will take the book, that will absorb it and live it and share it with others because they love the brethren. Verse 20, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns or two kings of Medo-Persia." That's Iran today. You understand that the old Medo-Persia is Iran today and that general geographical area. That's what we're talking about. 21, "And the rough goat is the king of Gerasa, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." This word Gerasa is Javan, and it means hot and active. You should know who's hot and active because he's getting practiced up for the hot place. Okay, some of his people. 22, "Now, that being broken," his first standing out in leadership, "whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not of his power." Well, I wonder whose power that is. I wonder what that could have to do with four demons bound, turned loose at the Euphrates. I mean, that's where we're at here. And four kingdoms happen not by the Medo-Persia power, not by Iran's power, but by something far more satanic. For those four angels that were cast out of, when the Euphrates was opened at the sixth trump, and that's what we're in here, are evil. And they shall establish and lead. Their names probably won't be prominent, but the wickedness that they will bring forth will be paramount. I suppose you read about some of it. You know, cutting heads off and blowing children up isn't really my cup of tea. It's not a Christian's cup of tea. But whose cup of tea is it? Look at it. Verse 23. "In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of furious countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." That's where the Antichrist appears. Okay. He, out of those four stands this one. He's the one that sent them. He's the one that controls them. "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." It's the total satanic power. "And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Hey, he's taken over because people are going to think he is Christ. You want to get set for that. He is going to take over. They're going to follow him like a herd of geese. One right in a row following him saying, "He's here, he's here." Because they haven't been taught. They didn't take the book. They didn't absorb the little book. And the end comes. He doesn't take it by force. Didn't you hear the words? He said he comes in peacefully and prosperously. They want him. He takes over because they drag him in. They're crazy about him because they're deceived. Where did those evil spirits come from? We just read in the book of Revelation that I said, what is it that's coming out of their mouth? Blowing smoke, okay? That's all. And people, they love it. when he does that. Why? Because he comes in prosperously. All your troubles are over. 25. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, don't overlook that, by peace shall destroy many. Many that claim to be good Christians are going to fall right in with him. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. When Christ is ready to snap his old head, he's gone. Okay? When he's ready to wound his head into the pit, he's going. But whatever you do, how important it is that you listen to the prophets and not be deceived. He's coming. We're coming to that time. We're in that sixth trump already. I mean, the swarmers let us know that. There's very little doubt about that. Either it's the strongest type we've ever seen in our life, or you're looking at it, and man, does it look real. And it's something that watchmen are supposed to watch and be very aware of. Verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. Certain days afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. You're supposed to. Daniel didn't, but you are today, because this is the end. Daniel will continue on, and he'll remember the 70 years of Jeremiah. And then he will think for a moment, and he will remember the 70 weeks that covers right up to the crucifixion. And then there's a gap theory for that 70th week. You'll read of it in chapter 9, verse 27, the book of Daniel. What does it say? I'm going to read it in English, and then I'm going to translate part of it in Hebrew for you. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's the morning and the evening offering. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, that's the end, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It's the desolator. This is why when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, it's a mistranslation. Moffat got it right. It should be when you see the desolator. That's the Antichrist. Stand in Judea claiming to be Christ. You're at the end. That's what Christ taught there. What this really says in the Hebrew, on the, you with companion Bibles, it does it for you. It says that he comes on the wings of the desolate, and he is the desolator. And he is the one that stands in the holy place claiming to be the God of all. You know something? Those miracles that he performs are astounding to someone that isn't learned. And to conquer our people, you know, it's never been done before. Stop and think about it. This nation has never been defeated. But he's going to take it over peacefully using the four hidden dynasties. That's religion, political, economic, and so forth. He's going to do it. And that's when you come in. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Now, how precious it is to know our Father. There is one little prophet, maybe one we should go to. Why? Because his name is Nahum, and it means comforter. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our true comforter. And do you know what he tells us there? He lets us know what happens to the people that come against Christians. And I think maybe that we will close with going to Nahum. And Nahum is right after Micah in the Minor Prophets. Very short little book, okay? Very short book. But it's do you know where Nineveh is? See, this prophecy, again, geographically, it's important. The Assyrian that took the house of Israel captive, its headquarters were Nineveh. Nineveh, well, where is it located? Well, it's located just a little bit east of the Tigris. Well, isn't that something? That's Iran again. All these prophecies are pointing toward Iran geographically. That shouldn't be a big surprise, okay? So having said that, this is how God destroys it and brings it into check. And you have a part in that. Verse 9 of chapter 3, the great book of Nahum, the prophets say, this is what this prophet says, Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength. This Iran and others, they get their power from there. And it was infinite, Put, that's Libya, and Lubin, those are the migratory ones, were thy helpers. They're all over the place, swarming. Yet was she carried away, she went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Just watch them go down one after the other. You've seen it. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight what's happening to children that put on explosive vests and blow their guts out. You know? That's not war. That's not, there's no honor in that. How could anything so demonic come to be? Well, maybe four demons have something to do with it. Maybe four angels that are demonic have something to do with it. They're cut loose on the Euphrates. Thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou shalt seek strength because of the enemy. And who is the enemy of the captors of our people? You are. God is the enemy of those that come against the children of God. I don't care where you are, what belief, as long as it is God's word. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Do you know what that's talking about? Do you really? It should remind you of a scripture. You don't have to turn there. Let me do it for you. Okay, Revelation chapter 6. Whoops. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Let me read it to you. Revelation 12 and 6. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Remember what I told you about the sixth seal? And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. 13, listen, this is why we came here. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth like lightning. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, that's what we're talking about, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And so it is. We're talking about the sixth trump, the sixth seal, and what transpires there, how God thumps the enemy through you. Verse 13. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. This is our enemy. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. You have to, the reason gates are left wide open, there's no security and there's not really any trained military. It's just kind of helter-skelter everywhere, swarming and people running and not disciplined and certainly not good warriors at all. Verse 14, speaking to the enemy, draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. In other words, you better beef it up. You know why? They're going to lose. There's not anything they can build that can outlast God. 15, there shall the fire devour thee. And God is that consuming fire. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the canker worm. Underline it. Make thyself many as the canker worm. Make thyself many as the locust. This word locust is Arabi. The same word is Arab, basically. Do you understand what the cankerworm is? You know, we've been talking about swarming. The cankerworm is the devourer. It's the third stage of the locust. In other words, you've moved from swarmer here to devourer in this cankerworm. And they're populating. In other words, the plot thickens. Prophecy concludes. The end comes. And you're reading about it. It is the third stage. There's only one left. It's the consumer. 16. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. You claim to be greater than God. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. The devourer, he spoils everything. He can't accomplish anything. Conquers by destruction. You know, it's a beautiful thing when we have Peace Corps that go to certain places that need water and dig wells and train people how to pump fresh water to not be sick. And some people go and blow people up. Who do you choose? Where do you study? The prophets, God told them a long time ago. Have you read them? It's very wonderful and so good to understand the Word of God, especially when you have a picture of it every day in front of you as life on the east of the Euphrates continues to roll. Verse 17. Thy crowned are the locust. This word crowns, as you know from the New Testament, Revelation chapter 9, is turbans. Your little old turbans just blowing the wind. And the word locust is Arabi. And thy captains as the great grasshoppers. You know, he's saying here, who's leading you is the first stage. The word for grasshopper is gob. And gob means a boar. It's the larva. Okay, got a hard shell around it. You couldn't penetrate it hardly. Wearing their little old turbans, which camp in the hedges in the cold day, but when the sun ariseth, they flee away and their place is not knowing where they are. You know, that's the way fallen angels operate. Now you see them, now you don't. Cause the mischief and fade away. Hide in the hedge. You don't see them unless you've read the book, unless you know what the prophets say. And the prophets tell you, you're on that hour. Watch it. Don't be deceived. You're a child of God. Act like it. Absorb. Eat it. The truth. And live it. Verse 18. The shepherds. Thy shepherds slumber. Not our shepherds. This is the would-be teachers of the world. O king of Assyria. And Assyria, again, that's the group that took the 10 tribes captive and now is made up of Syria and Iran. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains. And no man gathereth them. You know, they really don't care. I would not want to belong to a society like that. You know, I don't have to be descriptive about what happens there. You see pictures of it every day. It isn't pretty. Okay. I have a very difficult time understanding how someone could feel they were doing something heavenly by strapping on an explosive belt and getting on a bus with school children and killing them all, blowing them up, blowing them to pieces. What did it say? Your children also are dashed in pieces, back in verse 10. It's happening every day. And it's a shame. And it's a disgrace under the eyes of the living God, and he's getting tired of it. Verse 19, there is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap thy hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? New York City, Twin Towers, on and on, over and over. Blow them up, kill them, cut their heads off, do something honorable. Okay. Take out this leader, take out that leader, and let the brotherhood take over. Now, wait a minute. Who's the brotherhood? You better be finding out. Okay. You should know already, because they've got four leaders, and they're pretty sharp. Because they're not necessarily natural. They're supernatural. But you are better than that because you've got the book. You've got the little book. And God said, my mystery, I gave it to the prophets. And that's what the prophets say. Beloved, we could go on and on and on covering the prophets that warn daily. But it's all the same story. It's the mystery of God. The cause is this. Father wants you to know, he said, it's time for the false one to be cast down. It's time. And he's going to be. This world cannot go on the way it is. So God is calling a people. He called some good ones. I look at you and I wonder, you know. There you are, okay? I'll ride with you, you know. I praise God for you that you love truth. And I want to say my old Marine Corps buddy that usually comes, he passed away this year. We lost him. Those old Korean combat veterans from up at the Chosun Reservoir were getting a few years on us. I probably would be getting a little weaker myself, but God won't let me. Okay, he says we got work to do. Okay. But I do know how to battle where it's wave after wave after wave, and they're coming. Be ready for it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for the mighty word that you give us, Father. We bless you and praise you for it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father.